Good morning, everyone. If you would you please turn with me in your Bible to Matthew chapter 5, and I'm going to read verses 17 through 20. Matthew chapter 5, and I'm going to read 17 through 20. Brothers and sisters, hear the word of the Lord. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Verse 20, for I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. May the Lord be praised through the proclamation of His Word. As you know, last week we were in the previous verses on the Beatitudes, which spoke about the standards of the kingdom that we as believers need to use in our daily lives. We spoke about applying it as the norm that we are to live by, which Jesus has directed to us. As in, God has blessing us. We tried to use other words that will help us to flesh that out, as calling it God's wonderful news, or the new norm. And as we were able to see, when was that to be applied? Well, when we went to the Lord's Prayer, we asked the question, when were the promises to come true? And what we saw when we read the Lord's Prayer, and as Walter had prayed this morning, they're supposed to be now. Thy kingdom come, now. Forgive us our trespasses, now. That is when it applies. When does God's rule apply? Now. So as we see, by applying these biblical truths, we have become the salt of the earth. We have become the light of the world, which causes us to rejoice in our relationship with the Lord. The next section of the sermon, which we're going to look at today, is I'm going to start a segment on it. It starts actually in verse 17, and it goes all the way through verse 47. And that is the segment, but I'm going to look just at the first part of it, which would be verses 17 through 20, where Jesus fulfills the laws of Moses. Now, the New Living Translation says, I came to accomplish their purpose. So, we're going to be looking at those things. But then, in the following verses, verses 21 through 47, Jesus Christ uses six different examples for us. And just to mention them, give you a heads up, the first one is verses 21 through 26, talks about anger. 27 through 30, talk about lust. 31 through 32, talk about divorce. 33 through 37 talks about vows or oaths that we make. Verses 38 through 42 is in retaliation or revenge. And verses 43 through 47 talk about having a love for your enemies. But then it ends with verse 48. And that's the summary of Jesus' message and his point that he wanted to get to. But so we don't miss it, because this is one small pill, like an aspirin that you take. At the end of Matthew in chapter 7 and verse 12 is the complete summary of the whole of the message, which sounds very similar to Matthew 5:48. But so I can give you a larger picture. I assume most of you picked up a bulletin when you came in, and you should have this in your bulletin. Some of you like charts and graphs. I know I personally do. I could never live without blueprints myself. But the reason I put this in is this is talking about God's eternal kingdom purposes. And what we are going to see today by Jesus preaching in Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 20, is Jesus giving us the first salvo, the first hint of the kingdom purposes. Now, he's been preaching for about a year already. But this is the first mention of a sermon where we're getting the full-blown message all at one time. And so we're hearing God's purposes being spoken about. And it's the beginning, not the end, of the new covenant. It's talking about it. And when it will be installed in another 2.5 years. But this is the beginning. This is the introduction. And on this little chart and graph, as you can see up in the upper left-hand corner, it talks about the issues on the original creation. And then as you go across the top, there was the recreation after the flood, and then the middle of history and the incarnation of Jesus Christ when he came, and we see the cross and what he accomplished there, and then the end of history, as in when Christ would come again at the second advent. This gives a quick little summary in a chart form. But in particular, what I'm going to be working on is this little section right here in the chart. And for you, it says the new covenant fulfillment in Christ. And then if you'll notice, there it says Christ, the new Moses. And then you'll see under that passage, like Matthew 5, 17 through 20. There's other information in Romans 10, 4, Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, 3:16, also verse 28, Philippians 3, 9, 2 Corinthians 1, 20, Hebrews 8, 7 through 13. These are all things referring to this new kingdom coming. This is the issues of when does it start? When is it being active? Who's involved? What has been completed and what is being started? And Jesus is beginning a new ministry. Moses' ministry is now diminishing. Jesus Christ's ministry is now starting. Moses did his job. Jesus is starting to do his job. I hope that's what we're really talking about. And when I titled the message, I have Jesus, the new lawgiver, he accomplishing the law's purpose. What I'd like to give as an illustration is this. What does a power takeover look like? If we're talking about a country, usually it's a military. It's tanks and planes and things of that nature. If we're talking years ago, it was horses and chariots. And they used steel instead of copper. It was a military takeover. But takeovers can also happen in other ways. Corporate takeovers. If you happen to be one of the people who has your company and it's a corporation, it can be taken over by people coming in and literally just buying you out. That's a takeover. Now, was there swords and were there spears and were there guns? No, but it was done on paper and it was done according to law. What we're seeing is, in our case, there was a law. It was established with Moses, with the people. And that was to point out how sinful they were and how they needed to be righteous. The takeover came when Jesus Christ came at his first advent. And as you see on that little chart there, he's the new Moses. And what it means is he is the new lawgiver and he is giving his law to everyone who will repent and believe on the work that he accomplished of propitiating or satisfying the Father in heaven to buy our souls with his own blood. That gives him the privilege to be the new lawgiver. That's the power takeover. Therefore, all power and authority has been handed over to Jesus Christ. That's what Matthew ends with. Go and make disciples, for all power and authority has been handed over to me. From where? From who? It used to be you went to Moses. Now, it's Christ. And Christ gets to say what he wants his corporation to run like. He gets to put his standards in place. Now, will some of the standards look like Moses' standards? Yes. We want you to be honest. Honesty in the Old Testament, honesty in the New Testament. We want you to be righteous. You were supposed to be righteous in the Old Testament, but you weren't able to achieve it. Now you can be righteous under the new covenant in Christ. There are still similar standards, but does everything come from the Mosaic law transfer over into the new law? No. Jesus Christ has changed standards. We'll see that when we get later, not this week, but in following weeks, when we get to Jesus, the new lawgiver, giving his examples in Matthew 5:21-47. But all of this in particular is that we are seeing that God's eternal kingdom and his purposes were being fulfilled in Jesus Christ and by Jesus Christ, where he is contrasted with Moses. The idea being Jesus is the new lawgiver for the eternal kingdom of God because Jesus is greater than Moses. Because he is not just Moses' commentator. Jesus just didn't write a commentary on what Moses said. I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty disgusting to me. That Jesus Christ, who is greater than Moses, is only going to comment on someone who is lesser than him after he puts in a new and a greater standard. In fact, I don't know about you guys. I've used this verse many times, and for me, this is so dynamic. When you read Deuteronomy 18 and 19, it's God is speaking to Moses. The verse says in Deuteronomy 18:18-19, I will raise up for them, I was God speaking, I will raise up for them, that's the people of God, a prophet like you from among their brothers. And I will put my words in his mouth. And what did Jesus Christ say in John 6? I say what the Father told me to say, and I'm doing it. And he will speak to them all that I command him. Did Christ have an option? No. He was repeating exactly what the Father had commanded him to say. Verse 19, and whoever will not listen to my words that he, Jesus Christ, shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. The Father in heaven is saying, you're going to pay dividends that you do not want to pay. So as we come to Jesus Christ introducing himself in the Sermon on the Mount that we're looking at, he addresses the question which everyone was looking at him and asking, is this man the man that Moses was telling us all to look for in Deuteronomy 18:18-19? And so Jesus says, as we look at the Matthew 5:17, this is what the verse says, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Or some of the other translations says, accomplish their purpose. His purpose was to fulfill all that was spoken about him. How do we know this? Is this something we're making up? In the Gospel of Luke, one of the last things we hear while Jesus is still on earth, after his resurrection, you know the account in Matthew 24:13-35 are the men walking back to Emmaus. They're walking on the road and they're saying, it's been a failure. The one we were hoping would redeem us is gone. He's dead. And Jesus himself, after his resurrection, appears to them and he says to them in verse 44, Luke 24:44, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Jesus just told these men that everything that was required of him was fulfilled. Now, the hard part is for us now to keep this whole idea, this whole theme of movement here in our head all at the same time. Because what happens many times is that we focus in on just one little component, which is not bad, but we're not seeing them all put together. The point that it needs to be understood is Jesus was accomplishing what needed to be accomplished to fulfill all righteousness. Nobody before Jesus Christ fulfilled all righteousness. That's why he came. And when he fulfilled all righteousness, that gave him the privilege to start a new covenant, a new agreement with the Father in heaven. And he put in his standards that he is expecting his believers, his followers, to follow. If we were to describe this a little bit differently, the Mosaic Law and all the prophets all wrote about Jesus Christ and him coming to redeem a people for himself, which was needed for mankind to return to a spiritual relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so the comment we hear from Jesus himself regarding verse 17, "Do not think I came to abolish the law of the prophets," it means his intent was not to show them up, or as in show up the law, that it was wrong or that it was irreverent. No, that would actually be a bad guess on our part. But in fact, at the time of Jesus' first coming, the Mosaic Law and the prophets were very relevant, and that Jesus Christ had to fulfill them, accomplish their purpose. The prophets were looking forward to Christ's coming so that everything would be made right, and Jesus Christ made them right by being obedient to the Mosaic Law. In fact, Jesus' purpose, one of his purposes, was to show how relevant the Mosaic Law and the prophets were. Everyone was supposed to follow the Mosaic Law and the truths which the prophets were proclaiming. As we all know, the problem was the people were not following the Mosaic Law or the prophets. And that was exactly why Jesus Christ came and did what he did. He came to fulfill what other men could not do, according to the Mosaic Law, which was required, by the way, for all mankind to keep and fulfill. But as we know, after 1,400 years of mankind not fulfilling the requirements, hence Jesus Christ came and fulfilled those requirements that mankind was supposed to fulfill. And this is why we say Jesus Christ fulfills or accomplishes the entire Old Testament, because they pointed to him. He was certainly not going to abolish everything that was pointing to him. Does that make sense? He was not going to abolish things that were all pointing to him. He was going to complete them. Well, as we think through that, that leads us now to verse 18, which tells us, "For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota nor a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished." Will you notice with me first the first part where it says, "For truly I say"? Now, I don't know if your translation has "truly, truly," or "I tell you the truth." There's the actual Greek says, "I tell you the truth." And this is actually a word formula that Jesus Christ uses in all of his teachings. Whenever you actually hear him teaching, you will hear him use this phrase. And by the way, he's the only one that uses it in all of Scripture. And for those of you who like scribbling down notes, Matthew mentions that he used this 30 times in his Gospel. Mark mentions it 13 times. Luke mentions it 6 times. And the Apostle John mentions it 25 times and always puts amen, amen. As in, I agree with it. I agree with it. So I don't know if I'm going to ask you, please turn, if you're not at Matthew chapter 5, please turn there. Because I'm going to ask you to put a little mark in your Bible. Yes, we can actually scribble lines in our Bibles. I'm going to show you where, just in these few verses, where he says this. As in, you are now required to listen to me. I'm giving you a new standard. Notice with me, it's found in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 18, where you say, truly I say, or is it the words, or might say, I tell you the truth. It's Matthew 5:18. You'll find one, another one in verse 20. Another one is 22. The next one is 28. The next one is 32. The next one is 34. The next one after that is 39. And the last one in this section is 44. So it's 5:18, 20, 22, 28, 32, 34, 39, and 44. He was emphasizing and pronouncing something new. The new was being spoken about by Jesus Christ, that he had fulfilled the requirements of the Old Testament law in this area. So to what extent then will the Old Testament law be fulfilled? Well, it'll be fulfilled right down to the last iota and dot in the Hebrew alphabet. We can think of it this way. When we write the letter T, we have to cross it. He's talking about that little dash that goes across the T. And any little dot, as in when we write the letter I in the lowercase, we put the I and put a dot above it. He's talking about even the little dot. It will be done right to the last period. Everything that was spoken about by the law and the prophets in the past will be accomplished. And even some of those things will still that were spoken about back then still need to be accomplished in our future, as in the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ coming. They were spoken by the law and the prophets in the past. There are still things that need to be fulfilled. Jesus was, in effect, saying everything is going according to plan. Everything is going according to plan, right down to the last letter of the law and the prophets. As verse 19 says, therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teachings others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven, but whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Now, in the English Standard Version, in 5:19, it uses the word relaxes. I thought that was interesting because quite a few says shall break. Translations say shall break or annuls. The New American Standard says annuls. Well, the natural question that should come from this should be, which commandments is Jesus Christ speaking about? Is it Moses' commandments from Exodus 20? Or Jesus' commandments that he's been just going to be talking about in the next verses? The answer is, we believers now keep the law as it is now interpreted by Jesus Christ. I will repeat that because I think this is very important. We keep the law as it is interpreted by Jesus Christ. And Moses is the one that goes along with this. Remember, I read the Deuteronomy 18:18 passage. This is what Moses said, "I will raise up for you a prophet like you from among the brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak of them that I command him. And whoever will not listen to my words that he," which would be Christ, "shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him." Moses, being inspired by the Father in heaven to write down this truth, is saying, when that man comes, you are required to listen to him. Moses understood that. Moses knew that someone greater than him was going to come, and they were looking forward to him coming and doing something that was greater than the law that Moses had written down. And that we needed to follow the law of Christ. There's a couple of places that you and I could look for that. Galatians 6:2 talk about the law of Christ. Another place is in 1 Corinthians 9, 20 and 21, talks about the law of Christ. So as we continue reading our verses, which would be now verses 20 through 48, they will explain to us all about what is expected of us in our obedience to Jesus Christ and the law. You will hear the examples that he will give about adultery. Well, before it was actually doing an act of adultery. Now, if you're laying in bed thinking about it, well, that's a different law, but it's similar. The old law said you could lay in bed at night and dream about it, cheating on your spouse, and it still was okay. Now Jesus Christ says, no, that's not even okay. That's a changing of the law. The idea of murder, you could say, man, I want to get that guy out. I'll get rid of him. He's just a thorn in my flesh. Well, Jesus Christ is saying, no, even to start thinking that way is now sinful. It's a new law. Now, are all of the new laws in the Sermon on the Mount? No, they are not. They are only just the beginning of what we are being taught about the new covenant law that Jesus Christ is speaking about. Are there things that were from the old covenant that are being carried forward into the new covenant? Yes, there are some things. And then in another case, there are some things that were coming forward and then they stopped because Christ fulfilled them. So they no longer need to be carried into the new covenant, and Christ has established something new for us in the area of obedience and how we should live for the Lord. And so as we look at verse 20, he says, I tell you, there again is that formula of his commanding. If you can imagine, I don't know if many of you have worked in a plant or an office, when your boss says, come here, do you come and follow that person? I don't know about you, but I worked for quite a few years, and when the person goes, you go. That's because he is in command, Christ is in command, and Christ is saying, I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Once again, we hear Jesus Christ using the word formula, I tell you, to make his point. He is now going to use the Pharisees as his example. Jesus Christ is teaching the people on that mountainside that unless you are better than the religious leaders, those people that you see as being godly, what we would think of as pastors, because how righteous they are, the way they would divvy out their all their laws and their rules, what they were doing, Jesus is saying, unless you're as good as them, you're not getting in. Well, the people are going, those guys are just about perfect. Well, they were perfect at keeping rules. The problem was, it wasn't within their heart. It wasn't being obedient to the Lord. They were following rules and regulations, but the rules and regulations didn't change the inner man. Their heart was still of stone and not beating for the Lord and not desiring, as we looked at this morning, hungering and thirsting after righteousness. I was going to ruin the class this morning and say I needed to use Isaiah 49 because that's where the actual promise was made. God the Father made a promise to the Son that when He would come onto the scene and give the new covenant, He says, I will now feed them and they will hunger no more because they will desire that to be a hunger and thirst after righteousness and I will fill them. And so the Matthew 5:6 passage is in reference to the fulfillment of the Isaiah 49 passage in verses 8 through 11. But here what we're seeing is that people couldn't live up to that righteousness, but they were standards, but they were not standards of the heart. They were only of information and like a checklist. Oh, I did this, and I didn't do that, and I didn't do that. What was Jesus pointing to? Was it to point out how bad the people really were? Those people on the hillside, ah, ha, ha, you didn't live up to the righteousness of the Pharisees. And was He trying to make them feel like, oh, it's so hopeless for you people. You're so horrible. You can't even do what those guys are doing. Well, no, that's not what His purpose. Jesus is pointing out that as long as righteousness was understood in terms of a literal obedience to rules and regulations, the Pharisees were at the top of the heap. But just keeping rules and regulations is not the answer. Within Jesus Christ's new covenant, there is a different standard applied. All believers must move beyond literal obedience of rules, however good and spiritual those rules may be. All believers must come to a new spiritual consciousness in regards to pleasing God. One which goes beneath the surface level of just following rules. What is being presented is a change of heart for the believer, for that man, or that woman, or that child. Where the believer actually desires to obey the word of truth. Can you believe that? We're supposed to actually desire to be obeying God's word. Where the believer's desire is to do the will of God from his heart. Isn't that what Ezekiel 11 was about? The idea of now you won't have a heart of stone anymore, but you'll have a heart of flesh that will beat for the Lord. What was Jesus Christ saying? To enter the kingdom of heaven does not mean to go to a place called heaven. To enter the kingdom of heaven does not mean to go to a place called heaven, but to come under God's rule, to become one of those who recognize His leadership, His kingship, that He is prophet, He is priest, He is king, He is the ultimate authority, He is greater than Moses, and to live by the standards that He has laid down. To be one of God's true people. As we saw last week, Jesus is going to give us six examples. The idea with anger, adultery, divorce, vows, oaths, revenge, retaliation, and loving your enemies. These are some of the first salvos of things that we need to be conscious of. So that we're just not doing a checklist and checking off something. Well, I didn't curse today. And I didn't hit my wife today. And I didn't give my husband burnt eggs today. That's all false stuff. And no, it doesn't matter what the examples would be. If it's done as a rule, something is wrong. If we're doing it because we love Christ and put it there, that makes it the correct standard. Jesus is the new lawgiver. And since He alone has accomplished all that was required by the Mosaic Law, we now have someone who can represent us before the Father in heaven. and who can cleanse us from all our sin. When we repent of it, we turn to Him, either as we talked about early this morning in our first class, that there's an issue on out of Romans chapter 3, there's an issue that we have to be righteous because we repent of our sin and we become believers. And then after we're believers, we need to continue to be righteous, and we call it sanctification. And that is accomplished by Christ. Which this really means for all of us is we need to understand what He said, because whatever Jesus says is important. We need to consider all of it, because it is inviolable. It is unbreakable. It is sacrosanct. It is indestructible. Whatever He says is law. All believers need a pair of Jesus' glasses so we can see the truth right before us and glorify God for opening our eyes to His truth. I'd like to read the Hebrews chapter 3 to give us this, to pull this back around. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 6 tells us this. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle, and high priest of our confession. He was faithful to Him, the Father, who appointed Him, as Moses also was in all his house. For He has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, by just so much as the builder of a house has more honor than the house. Verse 4, for every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken later. Verse 6. But Christ was faithful as a son over His house, whose house you are, if you hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end. Jesus Christ has a new covenant, and in His house, in His household, He has new rules. Moses had his household. He had his rules. The problem under Moses is people could not be justified by the Mosaic law. It told you what is correct, but it did not have a means of changing your heart. There was no power because the Holy Spirit was not given to accomplish it at that time. He went to prophets, priests, and kings, and a handful of people. Under the new covenant, we are given the promise of the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, and He comes and now indwells all the people in Christ's household. All the people in His household. That's verse 6. Christ is now the one giving the rules in His house. We need to listen to what Jesus Christ said, and what we'll hear Christ and then the apostles that followed Him. So as we read the epistles, we need to listen to them. The hard part for us is understanding what we call continuity and discontinuity. I don't mean to confuse you. What started back here with Moses? What even started back farther with Abraham? And what has continued on now through Jesus Christ and will continue until the end? And then there are some things that started with Moses and only continue to Jesus Christ. What that means is we need to have glasses that turn around and read the Scripture through the lens of Jesus Christ. And what does He say? How did He fulfill and complete the law? And what will now continue on and be new and improved, if I can use that kind of a soap illustration? Brothers and sisters, we are now privileged. We are privileged to now be under now the household of the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Scripture tells us, but Christ is faithful as a son of His house, whose house we are. If we hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end. Our hope is held confident in what Jesus Christ accomplished. Not what in Moses accomplished, but what in Jesus Christ accomplished. Which means you and I need to spend time in His Word and getting to know Christ better by being in His Word and being familiar with Him as a person. Not just as reading it for historical or theological information, but getting to know Him and love Him as He is speaking to us through His Word. That is why the passage is about Jesus is the new lawgiver. He accomplished all of the law's purposes, and now we are privileged to be under His household, and we are under His laws and His rules, and to God be the glory. Shall we close in prayer? Our Father, it is truly our privilege to be part of Your household. We are now part of Your eternal kingdom and Your eternal purposes. And as we pray prayers such as Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we know that we have been transferred into Your kingdom. We know that Your will is being done on earth as it is being done in heaven. All things are going according to plan. And Father, my prayer for all of us here today is that we would not just be on board, but know that we are on board and that our desire is to hunger and thirst after Your righteousness and that we will be followers of You that You will be well pleased with. And as Your Scripture tells us, Father, and as You informed us, that our boast and our hope will be firm until the end when You call us home to be with You. We love You, we adore You, we desire to worship You with all that is within us. To the glory and honor of Your holy and precious Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.